4:27 is the time. Looking forward to our conversation with Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin. He'll join us here in about 30 seconds. I got a chance to see one of his alums last night down in Atlanta. Dansby Swanson was given an absolute gift. Aaron Nola hung him a room service curveball, and Dansby knew exactly what to do with it and took it yard. Did I love it? Darn right I did. Even more than that, though, it was great to be in a baseball stadium with people. Tim Corbin joins us by phone. Tim, I know you know exactly how I feel, because in recent weeks, it's got to be fun that you've been able to get people back in the yard.
For sure. I mean, for the fans and for the kids, too. I mean, you feed off of that. When you come to a place like this now, you feel like you're going to be exposed to crowds and that type of energy, and it's been good. I mean, I think, you know, the 40%, you don't really look at the percentage just from standpoint of you've played so long without out fans, and now that you have fans, there's a certain electricity that exists, and I'm happy for the kids. I'm happy for the kids they get that opportunity.
Tim, you've got to help me on this, because I don't pretend to know this rule the way I need to. And a caller brought it up Friday afternoon with rain in the forecast on Sunday. He asked me, why don't Vandy and Alabama just agree to play 3 games in 2 days, Friday, Saturday, and not even worry about the threat on Sunday? What is the rule? What's the protocol about what you can and can't do?
Yeah, we could do that. We could do that for certain. And we've had several opportunities to do that this year, but we've gone against it just from standpoint of forecast has changed. Now, if it's such a forecast, which some may think was the case on Sunday, we could have moved to a doubleheader on Saturday and played the 2 games and not worried about it on Sunday, but we felt like we had a window if we started the game a little bit sooner, and we felt like we could get it in, and didn't. So, you know, we kind of left the game on the table, but there's nothing we can do about it now. But we certainly can change it if we feel like we need to.
I'm going to ask you a couple of philosophical questions that you may come away going, what is he smoking when he asks this? So bear with me.
Yeah.
Because you've had so much success in the past, people will say, well, this guy knows how to get his team to peak at the right time. And there's a part of me that says they're absolutely right. The proof is in the pudding. How does a coach do that? How do you, what is it you do that flips that switch that makes your team peak at the right time?
Well, I think we have some help, and I say that from standpoint of academics gets pulled away from the kids. And I think, as you know, you've been a part of this environment, it's real. I mean, these kids have real projects, real papers, real exams. Not the other schools don't, because they do, and it's probably all relative. You've got pretty well-wired kids here that go to school here and compete off the field, and that it takes a lot of energy. And, you know, I could see it over the, not this past weekend, but I could see it the past week when we went to Florida and then had to go to Louisville, and I felt like Tuesday we didn't have any juice. You could just sense it, and we gave the kids off on Wednesday. I think that's primary. I think the surge of not having school and just playing baseball and concentrating on weightlifting and baseball is probably primary. And then I think number two, it's just that there's always been a gathering of resources, whether it's our classroom, the buildup of the classroom, what we do inside the classroom, the team environment, that exposes itself well towards the end of the season. We don't panic. We don't put ourselves in a situation where we feel like we have to do something right now. We just focus in on very small incremental things. And I think because of that, the kids seem to flourish. They seem to play loose, and they seem to have fun. And they need to, because, you know, the hourglass is turned upside down. I mean, you can see the days start to move rather quick right now in terms of the end of a college baseball season. So I really focus in on enjoying this time and really being able to do a lot of team things, which we thrive upon.
Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin is on the line with us. Tim, if I don't ask this, people are going to say, well, how could you not go down this road? What can you tell us about Jack Leiter's health situation right now?
Yeah, I think it's good. I think he feels good right now. I think he needed a week. He hasn't been exposed to a lot of innings before at any point in time, whether it be high school. I went to Del Barton School in New Jersey, and I don't know specifically how many innings he threw, but it's not the volume that he's throwing right now. Now, granted, in a college season, if you're a starter, you typically throw anywhere from 90 to 100 innings if your team goes deep into postseason play. And he's in about 60, but they're hot temperature innings, too, and it's really the first time he's been exposed to it. And I think last week it was a situation where the ball wasn't coming out of his hand. He was tired. And we just had the ability. Now, I wouldn't say there's any risk to it. The risk is just that Vanderbilt's not going to be playing with Jack Leiter, and that's the risk. You know, it's because he's a good pitcher, and he puts you in a very competitive environment because of his ability. So we didn't have that, but at the same time, the kid needed a week. He just needed a blow to calm his arm back down again and get some rest. And I think this rest is going to serve him well moving forward.
Tim, I got an unbelievable education in coaching from the late, great C.M. Newton, who once told me that dealing with parents is the hardest thing that a coach has to deal with. And I learned as I watched, okay, there's some real landmines that you have to go through. What happens when you have, for instance, an Al Leiter, who is a terrific color analyst on MLB Network? This man knows baseball backwards and forwards. Do you seek out any discussion with him at all, whether it's about his son or baseball in general, or is it a hard and fast rule, I'm not talking to parents?
Well, I just think it's common sense. I think I outline it pretty well with the parents and kids before they come here, because you're very entrenched with parents and kids in the recruiting process, and you have to be, and you want them to be, because I think and a lot of times parents they have experiences that they can help their child with. But at the same time, once you get into the decision-making phase, I think parents like Al and Lori Leiter, they lay everything out for their children, and then they let their children, all three daughters, another daughter that's coming up that's about to enter college, allow them to make the decision based on what they've talked about. And Al certainly did that. But I think once they get here, then that's the piece where you want the parents to release the opportunity to their children. It's almost like they've created a foundation of strength, and then when their son is in this environment, then they allow their child to grow on his own. And they certainly are part of their life, because Al and Lori come to a lot of games just like a lot of parents do. But at the same time, they understand that they're empowering their child by allowing them to make decisions that is going to benefit him or hurt him, you know, if they choose to do so. But that typically isn't the case. So I think the parents are very understanding of that, because I communicate that to them and the kids. And I certainly am engaged with parents when it comes to things outside of baseball. But when it's baseball, that's purely between the individual and the team and the coaches. When it's about health, that's when you want to get the parents involved. And in this case right here, I haven't spoken to Al. Brownie has, but at the same time, he trusts our decision-making with his child, and otherwise he wouldn't have been here to begin with.
Tim, I'm hopscotching all over the place in kind of a weird interview, and you're having to put up with it, and you're nice to. I want to ask this. The NCAA baseball tournament, is so much more exciting for people than it was 20, 25 years ago. When this thing starts in June, how many teams out there truly could win it all?
I'm not going to say 64 because you know that's not the case. But what happens is there's always this team, i.e. Fresno State, or a team that gets in late, Virginia in 2015.
Right.
We played Virginia in 2014. They were a national championship powerhouse team, no doubt about it. In 2015, they limped into their own tournament and just barely got into the 64, but being an ACC team, anything could happen that way. So I guess what I'm saying is it all comes down to starting pitching and 2 to 3 bullpen arms and timely hitting. And not everyone has the pitching that you need in order to get through Omaha. You have to have starting pitching. If you don't have starting pitching, it doesn't matter how your team is built. You will not get through the thrones of any tournament just because the strength of the offenses will go through a good starting pitching group, let alone a mediocre starting group. So I think that's really what it comes down to, is there's probably 16 teams that have an opportunity really to get to Omaha and get to a national championship situation.
Interesting answer on that. Tim, I can't thank you enough for the visit. Let me apologize on the front end. This is totally my fault. We forgot to call you last week.
That's okay. That's okay, George. I was sitting here. I got nowhere to go.
Do you know when it hit me? This morning. It was the first time. I'm driving back from Atlanta, and it dawned on me, and I'm like, oh, crud. We didn't call him last week. So thank you for being understanding. No, that's not true. You know it isn't. Tell Maggie I said hello.
I will, George. Thanks so much, always.
Take care. I love talking baseball with him.